I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah, and you know, good thing, because as Democrats shut down available sources of electricity, you know, the thing that powers the car. Yeah. I mean, we've got Doug Burgum, and I played the audio last week warning, look, we are not too far off being Spain, because, you know, we are still collapse the grid. I mean, we can't plug these cars in and think they're going to charge and that we're going to run factories too. I mean, it's not going to happen unless we expand capacity. We haven't. In fact, we've been shutting it down. So, oh, yeah. Right. And it, yeah, like if food prices went up, because that's what they haul, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It'd be fine. Well, the Democrats, it was half-baked. It didn't work out. By the way, speaking of half-baked, after the Brussels and Spain, I'm sorry, the Portugal, no, was it Brussels or was it? Yeah, I know it was Spain. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking out. I'm sorry. I've got it right here. It was two countries' grids went down. Started off with Spain. What was it? Was it Portugal? Yeah, okay. Portugal and Spain. Spain bragged that it was going 100% renewable, so that means wind or solar. That ended disastrously with everyone in the dark and people stranded in the subway. Unfortunately, it is the plan Democrats have for this country. Germany just took a look at that and went, you know, nuclear power might not be so bad. And unfortunately, in the EU, you've got to get EU permission. 3 weeks after widespread power grid failures across Portugal and Spain, triggered by unreliable solar and wind power, Germany appears to be sharply recalibrating its energy stance. It had been blocking France from getting nuclear power, like adding to its arsenal, basically, of nuclear power. And now they have reversed longstanding opposition to nuclear power. Yeah, I mean, Germany is going to be like, you know, a pastoral farming country at the rate we're going. That assumes that growing food is allowed, because it does generate, you know, carbon gases and stuff, like climate gases. I mean, this has been an absolute disaster. So finally facing, and Zero Hedge puts it right, this is a huge embarrassment for the left in Europe. This was not supposed to happen. So they're kind of quietly backing off that and going, you know, maybe we can do some nuclear. So that's all going on. Meanwhile, I just want to point this out really quickly because it's a huge thing, and especially when you know the background. Speaking of Europe, the Telegram CEO says, Pavel Durov, who, as you know, was arrested in France, says the French government sought to force Telegram to block conservative voices in Romania ahead of the country's presidential runoff. That's fully loaded because he is awaiting trial there. Now, he's left the country, so I don't know if he's going to actually show up for trial, but he's still got charges. And he has maintained he would not have charges if he would censor conservatives worldwide. And the request, the ask for that, started by the FBI. They showed up at his home uninvited one Saturday morning. They just, bam, walk on that he's eaten breakfast, no invitation. And they want to know, will he build them a back door so that they can go in and censor? He says no. And look what happened to him. They pick him up in France as soon as he flies in. Arrested. And what are they doing? Same thing. This is an international cabal who cannot compete in the marketplace of ideas. So the French government, he said, sought to make Telegram block conservative voices in Romania ahead of the country's presidential runoff. Okay, wait. So what's going on here? Why do the French care about Romania? Okay, well, France and Germany are the two big power players in the EU, and they are terrified of the spread of populism. It's very, very popular. In Romania, the populist/conservative candidate won the election, hands down, won the election. And they say disqualified it. They said, well, the Russians interfered, which was a crock. So then he tries to win again, and they have the head of their intel agencies arrest him. They had to run another member of his party. So they're trying to arrest to stop populism/conservatism in the Trump mold from getting a toehold in Europe. And this is their way, just censor conservatives. And it started with the FBI. And if the FBI had just agreed to build the back door, I guarantee he wouldn't have been arrested in France, because they could have all used it. They worked together. Speaking of which, John Solomon, and folks, this is going to be an ongoing battle. From now on, whenever they win, we're going to lose our basic human rights for however long they hold office. And let me tell you why. John Solomon at Just the News just broke this, that one of the two National Endowment for Democracy grantees, the Global Disinformation Index, one of their internal reports has leaked. They bragged that using government pressure, they managed to demonetize right-wing news sites to the tune of $100 million in revenue. And basically what that means is, since the government can't constitutionally call up and threaten Google, threaten YouTube, threaten advertisers, they just fund these NGOs and have them go do it. And be a shame if you were audited. Be a shame if the SEC took a look at what you're doing there. It's all unsaid when they call. You know who they're from. They're from the government. Well, the Global Disinformation Index used your tax dollars to pressure advertisers and also major advertising platforms, including search engines and YouTube, not to put content from conservative news outlets up, including, listen to who they demonetized. This is the outrage of it. New York Post? You mean the people who got the Hunter Biden laptop story right? When you told us it was disinformation, those people? Yeah, them. Daily Caller, Breitbart, the usual suspects. So your tax dollars was used by the Biden administration to silence your media. Right, right. Yeah, no, Trump's a fascist. Totally. Totally. The right people have to be censored. And it's not fascism then. It's just good information. Protection of democracy, which even Bernie Sanders admits we don't actually live in one of those. Yes. This is the funny thing. I mean, for him to be out, like, you know, how many cities has he hit in his oligarchy tour? He admits the Democrat Party is really the threat to democracy. Oh my gosh. I've been trying to play that every hour just so people can hear. Yeah, he actually said it on a podcast.
But then could we not also say, if ostensibly there hasn't been a fair primary for the Democrats since 2008, are they not also a threat to democracy? Yes. We often hear.
Fair enough. That is. Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that point.
Well, he sure left him out during the anti-oligarchy tour. No, but the host of that podcast twice got Sanders to admit, look, they've been controlling the primaries. The primaries have been rigged in the Democrat Party since at least, you know, 2008 was the last honest election they had. He's like, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, that's true. And he even says, yeah, my wife thinks so too. Why? Because he would have been the nominee. That's the scary thing. But he would have been the nominee if they hadn't interfered, the group of globalist elites who run the Democrat Party. And by the way, censor everybody. And for my left-wing troll friends, let me just tell you, you think they won't censor you to hang on to power? They just need to shut us up first. So good to know. $100 million in revenue. Government used my money to block my media from getting it. Awesome. Great. Fantastic.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host.
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Y'all, I forgot to tell you the craziest part about this. I can't believe I forgot the craziest part about this. For Just the News, a nonprofit that received tens of millions of dollars in federal funding over the course of years to develop censorship strategies boasted in its internal progress reports, your tax money, that its early tactics had succeeded in, get this, suppressing the reach of Donald Trump's messaging. That's what your government does for you. You sit around all day going, gosh, I wish I could suppress the reach of Donald Trump's messaging. But there was this thing. It was really bloody. It started 1776. Yeah, and we ended up with this thing called the Bill of Rights. And so you can't do that. But gosh darn, how exciting. We can do it now. So successful. According to the National Endowment for Democracy, whose other job was to amplify the lies of the Democrat Party? Because we need government for that. Reduced advertising cash flow by $100 million to news outlets. It deemed to be disinformation. How did you know you were a disinformer? You said true, real things before being given permission by the Democrat Party and the media. Folks, we lived in a totalitarian regime. We did. And the second we lose power, we will again. That is why they are running around getting everybody used to the idea, Trump's a fascist, Trump's a fascist, Trump's a fascist, Trump's a fascist. Why? Will he repress the media? How did he do that? Well, he kicked the Associated Press and Reuters out of their White House press office. Did he censor them? No. Did he send government goons out to threaten advertisers? No. No, he just didn't let us have our office that we had under Biden. Oh, so you had to work from your own office. Yes, it's censorship and repression. He's a Gestapo. Hitler. Hitler, everybody. Hitler. Dear God, understand this. Every time they win from now on, if they get the presidency, we won't know until that presidential term is over if we will ever get our free speech rights back. Think about that. It will be in question. Do we have to shoot our way out? Or can we still vote our way out? Because if we lost this election, we won't have free speech anymore. Free speech, we're done. And we're finding that out here. I mean, they were running a lot of this out of USAID and the State Department. And this is no exception. It's called the National Endowment for Democracy. They pulled the plug on it. We're called fascists for doing that. The National Endowment for Democracy, your taxpayer dollars, in turn pumps money to something called the Global Disinformation Index. That, in turn, awards grants through something called the AN Foundation. So what they do is they run around and they threaten search engines. They threaten YouTube. They threaten people like Mark Zuckerberg. They threaten anywhere there's advertisers. Don't let anybody see the New York Post. Why? Well, they got the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? We can't have anybody know about what the Bidens actually do. Having cancer is the least of it and hiding it. GDI's quarterly progress reports openly and explicitly boasted about the impact of censorship efforts on American targets and audiences. Let me break down what this is. Okay, you're Google, you're Bloomberg, you're a big, you know, substantial website. You know, you control traffic in any way as YouTube does. And the AN Foundation comes in to see. You know who they are. Well, you know, we're here to battle misinformation and disinformation. We're from the government. At least our money is, and it'd be a shame if Breitbart was allowed to keep advertising on your platform there. I know they keep getting it right, but, you know, the SEC does all the time, too, and so does the IRS. Would you like to have an audit? Oh, did I say that? I didn't mean it. We're just trying to combat mis and disinformation. This is the flip side of what we've been talking about for the last 2 days with Biden's cancer. As the media pretends, how do we not know? Well, because reporters were never hired at Breitbart, because you stole the money. The government stole the money. They thugged out and intimidated these search engines. That's why. And you know what, folks? Here's the shame of it, okay? Mike Johnson tried to fund this exact group. He would have seceded. He tried to fund the National Endowment for Democracy. We freaked. This was after Trump had been elected, but wasn't installed yet, or wasn't inaugurated. Thank you. Wasn't inaugurated yet. See, I'm using their language. I listen to way too much of their media. Installed. No, Mike Johnson went to town, man, with the Democrats. He was trying to fund that. He was trying to keep censorship going. Did he know? I don't know. Is he dumb? Is he evil? Is he dumb and evil? Is he more dumb or more evil? I don't know. The only reason that didn't get refunded, and they're not out there today intimidating people, and it was shut down, is because number one, Doge, but number two, Elon Musk was kind enough to take control of Twitter, and we found out what they were doing. It went crazy on it. No, 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 no. We did not win this election for Republican leadership to go fund censorship. And then Jim Jordan will roll up his sleeves and have a hearing on it. Nothing will change. You know how it goes. He gets a lot of fundraising off of it, though. We are this close. Look between my fingers, razor's edge, to losing every human right we have every time we have an election. From here on out, it doesn't change because they've said this is the norm. At least we get rid of Republican leadership. It's really frustrating. But the good news is, and there's a lot of good news, we won this round. We beat them like a drum. Anyway, some really interesting UFO news. Or whatever those things are up there. Remember the drone crisis of 24? Looked like the Chinese or some other of Joe Biden's friends were running around up there, terrifying everybody. No way to give us the straight truth. Yeah, this is kind of follow-up on that. It's very interesting. I've got it up next. Couple of interesting things. As you know, Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, say they've reviewed everything. And Jeffrey Epstein, who did not kill himself, actually did kill himself. He did. He killed himself. Dead. For reals. And you shouldn't have any doubt about that of any kind or something. They said. Here you go.
You said Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. People don't believe it.
Well, I mean, listen, they have a right to their opinion, but as someone who has worked as a public defender, as a prosecutor, who's been in that prison system, who's been in the Metropolitan Detention Center, who's been in segregated housing, you know a suicide when you see one, and that's what that was.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file. He killed himself.
Uh-huh. They also say there's no conspiracy surrounding Trump's death of any kind. It's just all very hunky-dory, very normal. And so don't even be worried about that. And that the only reason they haven't released all the information is because there's a trial. And when I say they, I mean the FBI. Okay. Well, there is for Ryan Ruth down in Florida. That's true. But Crooks is dead. Did you catch that with the Maria Bartiromo interview? As Kash Patel and Dan Bongino is sharing you, now there's nothing weird going on here. Nothing weird at all. No. There's nothing weird at all with Trump's assassination. Nothing. All right, cool. Release the Crooks data then. There's no trial there. He's dead. Where's that? You guys are still hiding it. Or is it that you can't get it? I suspect that's the case. You know what I think? I'm going to take a guess, okay? And I'm going to tell you what I'm guessing. If I don't know something, I'll tell you. But I'm guessing. They don't really control this agency. That's the bottom line here. That's the rub. They don't. I mean, they've moved into the building. And they've managed to seize control of, you know, some tactical units, some investigatory units in terms of they'll go out in you know, regards to their instructions and go after criminal networks and kiddie traffickers, stuff like that. But they don't control the FBI. They couldn't get all the data on Trump's assassinations if they wanted it. So let's assume they're telling us the truth. Well, we can't tell you anything about Ryan Ruth. Never mind the congressional subpoena he's under. He's headed to trial. Well, Crooks isn't. He's dead. What about the encrypted overseas accounts? Why don't you tell us about those? Since you know all about them. Why are you guys hiding those? The FBI was. It's really strangely suspicious, right? And then there was that other part where that Democrat senator said it was going to be very scandalous when people learned the truth about Trump's assassination. It was a weird thing to say. So tell us the truth. Who was Crooks talking to overseas? Why did he have overseas accounts? Why do you have multiple cell phones? Just release it. Congress subpoenaed it last year. Or can you guys just not get a hold of it? It's the aspect that's the actual case. That was a huge oversight, and shame on Maria Bartiromo, who I normally love. She should have followed up. Come on. Yeah, Ryan Ruth's going to trial, but Ruth is, but Crooks isn't. He's dead. Don't you just release him? I mean, Congress has a subpoena. Have you, and this would be my follow-up, have you given the information to Donald Trump? Since he couldn't get it from your FBI, and in all fairness, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino were not sworn in yet. He asked for his assassination information. It's 30,000 pages between the Secret Service and the FBI, which weirdly, the FBI did the pre-planning for that event. They don't always do that for the Butler event. We don't have any of that. So many things about that day don't make sense. And, well, we're going to go to trial, so you can't have it. Doesn't cut it. But like I said, my suspicion is that they don't control that agency. And they are only in control of it in name, and they couldn't get the information if they wanted it. Anyway, I bring that up as an aside. Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Epstein did not kill himself, headline. Jeffrey Epstein's brother slams FBI director for saying pedophile died by suicide. He has no idea what the F he's talking about, he says. He says he wished his brother had died by suicide instead of the way that he did, because he says that opens up so many more problems. Just think it's interesting that I note that. That is the case. By the way, if I was going to claim that, I would put all of the data out, especially explaining the multiple bizarre redundant failure of all of the video cameras pointed at the cell and the corridor at the time. It was weird, but, you know, I'd put the file out. I bet they can't even get the file. I bet they can't. God, that interview with Maria Bartiromo was weird. The two of them, weird. Just weird. Weirded me out. Made my little lizard brain tingle. But anyway, speaking of weird, UFOs. And folks, I just find this fascinating. Everybody yesterday ran with some version of this headline. Here's the New York Post. UFO striking fighter jet is among swarm of mystery objects spotted near U.S. military sites in Arizona. Okay, so most of the media outlets used UFO in the headline. Was it a UFO? Well, you read down inside of it, a UFO that struck and damaged a U.S. fighter jet is just one of a swarm of mystery objects buzzing around Air Force training ranges in Arizona. It's happening again. One of the unidentified flying objects hit the clear bubble canopy over the head of a pilot in a $63 million F-16 Viper jet in January 2023. They're just now releasing it, damaging it and temporarily grounding the plane. That's according to the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration. It was documents that were leaked and reported by something called the War Zone. Okay. The military jet was struck midair by an orange-white UFO? No. UAS, or Uncrewed Aerial System. That's what the FAA, the acronym the FAA uses for drones. Okay, so it wasn't a UFO. It was a drone. Okay, a drone, was it? What? Now, folks, remember the history of this, because these drones were freaking people out. I mean, it was getting downright creepy. The Biden administration was playing silly games with us. There's nothing going on. Ignore the reams of film there all over the internet. Damn, nothing. Everybody figured it was the Chinese again, like the weather balloon, because they're friends with Biden and they paid off Biden. Biden lets them do whatever the hell they want, right? So everybody assumed that. And even Trump, you remember, was saying he's going to get to the bottom of it. It's weird. They're flying over one of his clubs, too. Trump gets in office. So, and remember all of the governors gathered with Trump before he was sworn in? And they're all going, we can't even get answers. We don't know. They're over our military bases. They're over, our water treatment plants. They're over our nuke plants. We can't get answers. So these are governors that, state after state after state after state. Trump says, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I think it's weird, too. He gets into office. And Trump's asked about it again. He goes, oh, yeah, it was nothing. It was nothing. And that was the end of it. Now we're finding out these things are colliding with F-16s. Who is piloting these things? I don't think this is over by a long shot. Wall Street Journal says spending levels have not changed. Not one iota from the Biden years. That's what makes this so historic. Somebody just asked Donald Trump about that. And Wall Street Journal, not the only one to report that. I mean, it's been like everywhere. This just basically continues the Biden levels of spending. By the way, including the levels of spending we did at the height of COVID when we were cutting checks, paying people to stay home for, turns out, God knows what reason. We're basically re-spending that every year now. I got to ask Ralph Norman that. I'm fascinated. If we were sending people checks to stay home and businesses to stay closed, and we're not doing that anymore, that's a huge amount of money. I mean, like, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? That's got to be something big. I mean, like, almost unimaginable. That's like an unfathomable amount of money. How are we spending that? I still don't have an answer to the question. Our side's doing so little coverage of what's actually in this bill. That's a shame. It's hard to find any answers. Anyway, Donald Trump standing next to Mike the Knife was just asked, Thomas Massey saying this is, Biden level of spending. Trump oddly denies it. which is strange because it's the same. And says he is a bigger hawk than Representative Massey. Take a listen.
What are you planning to tell the fiscal hawks who want to delay this?
I'm a fiscal hawk.
They don't think this
I'm a bigger fiscal hawk. There's nobody like me as a fiscal hawk.
Massey said that has more deficit than Biden did, and this bill kind of...
Because we have to fix the country.
Do you think that Thomas Massey is correct in saying that this is adding Biden money?
No, I don't think Thomas Massey understands government. I think he's a grandstander, frankly. He'll probably vote. We don't even talk to him much. I think he should be voted out of office. And I just don't think he understands government. If you ask him a couple of questions, he never gives you an answer. He just says, I'm a no. He thinks he's going to get publicity. And you have that. You have that. They've got some, too. Go ahead.
Okay. Look, the only thing I can think here, the only way he's a fiscal hawk, and I have been keeping my eye on this, is if they send a massive rescission package after this, once they find all the fraud. And to their credit, they've done more than anyone to find the fraud. Again, the bombshell news of 3 weeks ago, which I still think is the biggest story of the month, is Scott Bessent saying in that hearing, you know, he's at the Treasury. Treasury makes most of the payments. Him saying, look, we make, you know, millions, 1.5 million payments. And him saying, look, a third of them were... that we stopped with our new program. As soon as they put it on, they could see which ones were fraudulent, which ones were ineligible, but were getting paid anyway by the government, which ones were real requests for payment out of the budget. Over a third of them were ineligible, i.e. fraud or ineligible or just, you know. And we had been paying it the day before. So maybe that's a big number. Maybe that's $250 billion. Maybe that's $500 billion. Maybe he comes back with a rescission package later for Congress. Maybe he doesn't tell them, hey, we know somewhere upward of a quarter of the deficit, about $500 billion is fraud, because they just go ahead and spend it. I sure hope that's the plan, because otherwise we just locked in the Biden level of spending. And Trump says he's a bigger fiscal hawk. Well, Moody's downgrades us because we're not even sure we can backstop bank deposits. Hey, okay. We'll just have to trust him for now, I guess.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.